successful streaming and podcasting talent in Nashville is Buck Rising. And now he has a radio show to go along with it. Right here, it's Buck Rising on 104.5 The Zone.
You ready, man?
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time for us to...
Baby, it's been that time here on 104.5 The Zone. Lucas Panzeca making it all happen behind the glass. You guys, of course, the fine audience here on 104.5 The Zone, streaming live on terrestrial radio. You guys are everywhere. You guys bring it strong on the socials. I am Buck Rising. This is the second hour. We have a lot of stuff to discuss. There has been a lot of talk about Titans free agency already, and it's been a minute since I've talked about the Tennessee Volunteers. Because there really hasn't been a good reason to. I mean, honestly, no, the reasons to talk about the Vols have been largely bad. Now they're 6-4 in their last 10, the basketball team. Not even the football team. This is a different kind of suffering that Tennessee Vols fans have had to experience. And we're going to spend some time on that in this hour. Madison Blevins from WBIR in Knoxville. She's going to be on the show to make sure that we are educated about all things Tennessee Volunteers. A college basketball player, former college basketball player herself. Mads has great insight. And with them starting spring practice for the football team, there's a lot of stuff to talk about in Knoxville. We have a bunch of great sports topics prepared for you. You can vote on all of the questions that we're posing to you on the polls at Buck Rising, R-E-I-S-I-N-G. We'll get to what, because I have a strong opinion about Rip Barnes. And if you want to weigh in on what's happening with the Tennessee Volunteers basketball team, they've got one game left before the SEC tournament begins. They play Florida on Sunday. And I don't necessarily feel any kind of great about their game against Florida. They're hosting Florida. I don't think Florida's any kind of special. I think Florida's had some moments this year. But at this point, this is not a team that should pose any great threat, but neither should the Kentucky Wildcats. And if I have anything, I didn't go to the University of Tennessee. I am not a native of Tennessee. I went to Indiana. But if there's one thing that we share in common, me and all of you Vols fans who are in this audience, that's we all hate Kentucky. I mean, just absolutely detest them. And with this, I mean, just the way they still should be so embarrassed. I watched Kentucky lose again during the course of this week, and I could not help get it out of my head. How embarrassed should Tennessee be to lose again or to have lost even once? I know they beat them 82-71 early in the year in Lexington, but to lose at home that badly to this Kentucky team. Anyway, we're going to talk about Rick Barnes. I want to know from you guys if you are on the socials, if you are on the phone lines, wherever it is that you are listening to us, where do you think Rick Barnes lands as a head coach at this stage in his career? Do you believe him to be average, above average, or below average? If you want to call in, you can do that. 615-737-1045. If you want to weigh in on the socials, you can do that at Buck Rising. But I have to talk about this quickly, Lucas, before we get too much into the balls, because our good friend from Broadway Sports, Mr. Lebowski, has written in, all of these sports topics are nice, Buck Rising, but we are just here to find out about what those cats destroyed yesterday. I feel like I've already exposed myself too much in talking about the fact that the word cat dad really makes me cringe. But I do. They're like 3 or 4 months. We're not sure. They're alley cats I found in my trash can. My girlfriend wouldn't let me get rid of them. And, you know, we didn't want him to die out in the wilds of North Nashville among the rest of these mountain lions that are patrolling the alley. In fact, one had a hole in its neck. I don't know what got a hold of it. But anyway, the cats now live in my home. They've been, you know, like everybody should be. They've been properly vaccinated. And so it's okay. But I left them at home for the first time yesterday. My first time actually having to come back into an office to do a job. It's been a while. And so Lucas shared with me something that we have in common prior to the show. We are both cat dads, Lucas Panzeca.
And not only that, but our cats have the same name.
That's so unoriginal. Like, shame on us, truly. Is every male cat in the world named Leo? That has
Well,
to be.
I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. And I've gotten criticized for naming my cat Leo, specifically by my roommate. But you had a unique name with Cleo, but you were forced to switch it up. And I can see why you didn't want to give him, her, the identity crisis of totally changing up the name. So I'll give you, I'll cut you slack on that. But for me, yeah, it's not very original.
Yeah, I did not anticipate having to reassign a cat's gender roles in my house when I found out that I would be taking this kitten in. Because Cleo, whom we named, you know, Cleopatra, I'm Egyptian. I wanted a little bit of that.
That's a great name. That's a great name.
That's what I'm saying. There's a good reason, like it's a part of my heritage. Egyptians love cats, like it's a whole thing. And I'm not a big pet person, but, you know, the circumstances are what they are, and we took these things into my home. But then Cleo, you know, as cats apparently are occasionally do, Cleo, as he slash she, or she slash he, got a little older, turns out Cleo, you know, is a Leo. And that was something very jarring to discover whilst watching my cat groom itself the other day. But the cats didn't wreck anything up too bad. In fact, my girlfriend has just texted me that they're Cat Scratch Palace Tower, that I believe cost an outrageous amount of money for anything that an animal should have, has just arrived at my house via Amazon, which is just so deeply depressing to say out loud, much less to a listening audience here on 104.5 The Zone. But I digress. The cats, I will keep you updated, Lebowski, on the cats and the situation, because honestly, people ask me more about the cats than they do about sports. But in the meantime...
So the damage wasn't that bad from yesterday.
No, you know, we really have set it up to where they can only do so much. I think I saw a phone charger chewed through, but nobody defecated on the couch, which was my greatest fear. That has been a struggle. Anyway, 615-737-1045. I believe Rick Barnes to be an average coach. I believe him to truly be an average coach. Now, his record is exceptional. In many stops across many years in college basketball, Rick Barnes has a 65% winning percentage, is what I should say. 65 winning percentage, or, you know, 0.65 winning percentage, however you want to say it. 725 against 385. Like, he's statistically a really good basketball coach. But Rick Barnes, at several stops, has petered out, and I fear... And you'll hear from Rick Barnes coming up. In fact, let's hear from Rick Barnes now, because everybody knows who's been paying attention to the Vols basketball, and I see Frying Pan and Chris on the line. We'll get to you in a second. Rick Barnes has been struggling to figure out what's going on with a senior on this college basketball team for the Tennessee Volunteers, John Fulkerson. It's all been well documented. We've all watched it play out in real time. It's all been cringeworthy. And there's something that is keeping me from kind of going at Rick Barnes because of the way that he sticks up for his players. Rick Barnes was very, very strong the last time he spoke to the Knoxville media. This was him defending John Fulkerson.
What I'd ask you, how tough do you think it's been on him? Because you guys know him. You know how much he cares. You know how much he loves this university. You know how much he loves his teammates. You know that it's never, ever been about him. Ever. I mean, ever has been about him. And when you have high expectations and you don't live up to them as an individual or as a team, there's disappointments. But it's not over until it's over. And that's why, again, some people act like we're going to write him out of the script. He's not going to be written out of the script. He's not. Because he's been too loyal. He's worked too hard. And don't think people aren't watching how we handle this whole deal when a senior, I've been through it with seniors. I've been through it with really good players that struggle. But one thing you don't do, you always talk about never quitting, never giving up. And I don't think you can ever quit or ever give up on a player, ever.
I mean, he's really, really strong there. Rick Barnes, the one thing, and I always, in this job, you spend a lot of time, you know, I'm literally a professional second guesser. That's something that Mike Vrabel called us as a Titans media corps one time. And he's not wrong. Like, I literally get paid. I pay my mortgage by second guessing people in sports. What I will never second guess, unless there is clear and obvious evidence, because some of this does exist, but in sports, in college sports, in professional sports, especially with college, though, I'm never going to criticize or go first at somebody for effort or care of what they are doing. There is too much time that these people spend. There is too much of their lives that they devote to this craft, and I would never, ever, ever accuse Rick Barnes of kind of stalling out in terms of passion for his team and his players. But there has been something that has gone stale as the season has progressed in Knoxville. And if Rick Barnes can't figure out why, that's a problem. Because this is supposed to be a competitive NCAA tournament team. And if Rick Barnes ends up in the NIT by some just absolute misfortune, because I'm an Indiana college basketball fan. I know what it is to suffer. You guys know what it is to suffer on the part of your football team. This is not something that can be allowed to happen. This is something that would be completely inexcusable if Rick Barnes was to find himself not in the tournament this year. They have one more game left to play. 615-737-1045. Frying Pan is up first here on The Zone. What's up, Frying Pan?
Hey, Buck, based off your scale, I would say Rick Barnes is an average coach. Now, what I tell my friends on my scale, he's a good coach. He's not an elite coach. He's not a great coach. He's been to one Final Four in his career. He seems to do better with lower-rated players, players such as Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield, than he does with these five-star players. Now he's had three five-stars in Tennessee. All three of them are still on the team, Triple J, Keon, and Jaden. And honestly, I just don't see that Jaden and Keon are NBA players. I don't. But I'll tell you this much. Rick Barnes sure is making a heck of a lot of money, $5 million to be exact, to be not putting out the results. And the deal with John Fulkerson, I really believe something's going on we don't know. Because you look how skinny the guy is. Now, this is just my assumption. He had COVID, and it's like he's never recovered. He's not the player he was down the stretch last year. It was exactly a year ago today. He dominated up at Rupp Arena against Kentucky. Where has that guy been at all season? He's not been the same. He's been pushed around. And it's frustrating as a Tennessee fan because not only does our football stink, our basketball team's no good. We were preseason picked to win the SEC. We were a dark horse for the Final Four. This team right here, they could lose Sunday to Florida and lose the first round in the SEC tournament. And guess what? They don't deserve to go dancing. That's a fair criticism. And so I appreciate you taking my call, and I want to hear your feedback. Thank you.
Rack 'em, Frying Pan, bringing it strong. Thank you, brother. We will address that on the other side because he made a lot of good points. Chris, hang with us. We are going to talk to Madison Blevins, sports reporter down there in Knoxville, about all things basketball and Tennessee football spring practice as well. But I do think that Frying Pan made some really good points. We're going to bring it up with Mads coming up next. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. So I have very strong feelings about our next guest. And not in the way that I'm sure most people have strong feelings about Madison Blevins. My friend from WBIR. No, don't laugh. I'll get to you in a second.
Your best friend.
By the way,
best friend.
This is Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. This is my show. Madison Blevins is here to ruin it, I'm sure. We have a pre-existing relationship, Mads and I, and we're going to talk about the Vols. We're going to talk about Rick Barnes. We're going to talk about spring practice. But this woman has been harassing me for the better part of at least 5 years, I think, at this point, about my physical condition. This woman has fat-shamed me on a regular basis. And listen, could I be a little skinnier? Yes. Is there a little bit of extra pandemic fluff? Probably. But this woman, we put it up on the poll. At Buck Rising is where you can vote on this poll because I knew this was going to happen. I said, Lucas was kind enough to put this up on the poll. How long did it take Madison Blevins to make fun of my weight in this segment? We didn't even make it to air. Didn't even make it to air. Shame on you. Hello, Mads.
Buck, my DMs are going to be full of people shaming me for shaming you. For everyone out there, it's a complete joke. Buck is not fat. I do not make fun of his weight, seriously. But, you know, we have a great relationship. We're good friends. I got to give him some grief. I got to keep him humble because nobody else will. So I have to, besides Dara.
Shout out my girlfriend. No, that's not true at all. You constantly harass me about my weight. In fact, a recent Instagram picture that I put up, the first comment that I saw there was about how thick my thighs look in skinny jeans. Disrespect. Complete and utter disrespect. Shame on you, Madison Blevins. And you know what? Her DMs should be full of shame. Because this woman has been...
I was going to come on here and say how proud I am of you for getting your own show. Everyone, I have watched Buck Rising behind the scenes grind it out the last 5 years. I'm talking 12 a.m. to 4 a.m. shifts. Like, I mean, he has crushed it. And I was going to come on here and toot your own horn, but now I might not.
Well, that's okay. I appreciate Mads' presence. Of course, you can get her on WBIR down there in Knoxville. She does exceptional reporting there on the TV. So the thing that Mads is here to talk about, and hopefully will join us on a somewhat regular basis when her time allows for it, because of course she's very busy. But there's always struggles with Tennessee athletics, except normally it's not the basketball team. And Mads has unique insight as a former college basketball player to be able to understand a little more about what the hell is happening with Tennessee basketball, because they've lost, they're 6-4 in their last 10. They have not looked good doing it. The Kentucky loss, Mads, was absolutely unacceptable by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm sitting here trying to understand what kind of coach Rick Barnes is with the kind of talent that's on that roster. Do you believe him to be above average, below average, or just average?
No, I mean, Rick Barnes is an exceptional coach. You ask any player that plays for him, anybody on his staff, they'd say, you know, I'd run through a brick wall to play for Rick Barnes. And you talked about John Fulkerson earlier, and something that really stood out to me in that press conference that he had with the media here in Knoxville yesterday, he said, you know, when I got that call from Coach Barnes that he was recruiting me, it was the best day of my life. He said he was just elated. He was so excited. And I think that speaks to these players and how much they do respect their coach. But, you know, it's hard. And a caller just called in and said, you have 3 5-star recruits. And right now, the 2 freshmen are the ones that are leading this team. You know, you want to look to John Fulkerson. You want to look to Eve Pond, your 2 senior leaders. But right now, it's Jaden Springer and it's Keon Johnson. And Coach Barnes was asked that on Saturday. He said, he was asked, you know, what's this like when your 2 freshmen are your leaders? And he said, you know, it's kind of a gut punch. And he's proud of those freshmen, but he needs that senior leadership to step up, because ultimately they don't have that full tournament experience. You get into the tournament, as you know, it is a completely different ball game. Unfortunately, it seems like Tennessee peaked at the wrong time. You go from being ranked 6th in the country to now being unranked. Like, how many seasons has that happened with teams? That does not happen often. So right now, Coach Barnes is just trying to rally this team. And Keon Johnson even said, you know, it's on us. There's something that we are doing that is just not clicking. Yes, it takes your head coach to figure that out and kind of work through that. But I think right now they have felt the pressure that comes along with being a top 10 team in the nation. And that's what they keep going back to, is this pressure. They couldn't live up to the pressure. And I think it was a little discouraging. So do I think that they're going to make a deep run in the tournament? No, not necessarily with the way they've played. You mentioned the Kentucky loss. I mean, that was pitiful, but I'm looking back at the LSU loss, the 78-65 loss to LSU. Ugh. And in the last 10 games, John Fulkerson has averaged 5 points. You take away the South Carolina game, that's not including South Carolina, but you have your senior leader only averaging 5 points, not grabbing many boards. And that was a huge factor in that LSU loss that I think has kind of spiraled them. And unfortunately, you know, they'll win a big one like Kansas with 21-point win over them, and then they'll lose the following game. So there's been no consistency right in this team, and I think that's their issue right now.
Well, and going back to the senior leadership, because one, you can't count on any of these freshmen being back, these studs that are likely going to be, that are going to declare for the NBA draft. And I know some people are mixed as to whether they're actually NBA caliber prospects. And of course, the NBA has it set up really well where you don't necessarily, you can declare and still have time to kind of evaluate before coming back to college basketball if you feel like your market's not quite what you initially thought it was. Test the waters in that way. But to watch Fulkerson struggle publicly like this has been uncomfortable, Matt. Mm-hmm. And I know Rick Barnes has been asked about this, whether it's physical, mental, whatever. And he's saying, you know, I wish and I'm paraphrasing here, and I know you were part of that press conference, but I wish I knew what to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and you understand this better than anybody, than most people listening. There are very few, no, not to give you credit for anything, but you were a good collegiate athlete in your time, washed though you may be now.
In my prime, back in the day.
Back in the day, throwback. add, how much are we, because you talk about pressure and how that can kind of just accumulate on a team like this where you're picked as the preseason SEC favorite and you have these high expectations. You have a fan base who is rabid for just any kind of success, athletically after the way that football has disappointed them time and time again. How big of a part of all of this do we believe to just be straight up mental?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is mental, and they've said that as well. They said, you know, this is pressure. I think a lot of them have just felt the pressure of living up to the hype, for lack of a better word. I mean, there was a ton of hype around this team, and with John Fulkerson and Eve Pons, maybe they were just like, you know, this is our senior year. Do we know if we're going to come back? They said they don't know if they're going to come back next year. So I think a lot of that is just living up to the pressure that Knoxville paints, that the national media paints, and also that comes with Rick Barnes. I mean, he has a 121-71 record at Tennessee. He's an excellent coach, and he's an excellent leader. You know, he's a player's coach. These guys want to play for him. They want to win for him. And I think that that has a lot to do with it as well. But, you know, and it's been fun to listen to Coach Barnes talk about his players. You know, you just mentioned it with the way he talked about Fulkerson. But he says, you will never meet a player that is a harder worker or that's in the gym more than Eve Pons. Like, these guys want to be good. They want to do well for this city, for national level. And I think, unfortunately, the pressure is just kind of sunk in. And like I said too, Buck, you talk about the pressure, but also you're not going to win many basketball games when you're relying on two freshmen. No. Like, you need experience to take you down the stretch, especially in the tournament. And you look back at their game on Saturday, they went to the free throw line 10 times. Like, you're a guard heavy team. You're not going to win many basketball games if you're only going to the line 10 times. Auburn went 37 times.
Yeah.
So there's just a lack of consistency there. And I think a lot of it, yeah, to answer your question, is built around pressure.
Frying Pan writes in on Twitter, the Ole Miss and Auburn losses are unacceptable. Daniel says, Folky is like Samson in the Bible. His hair got cut and he lost his strength. It's the hair. Grow it back, Folky. So maybe maybe a little swag gone with the hair. Okay, so they have Florida. We're going to talk about Tennessee football. Madison Blevins of WBIR in Knoxville here with us on 104.5 The Zone. We're going to talk about Vols, the Vols announcing their start date for football spring practices here in just a second. But Florida, maybe not a hugely pivotal game, but it is going to be important for them to try and correct some of these things before the SEC tournament hits. If they are to have success at home against Florida, what one thing does Tennessee basketball have to do better?
They have to score in the paint and they have to rebound. Those two things kind of go together. You know, you talk about this Florida game. When it comes to the seeding in the SEC tournament, it doesn't really matter. That's pretty much locked in, at least where Tennessee's at right now. But when it comes from confidence, Tennessee has got to use their height inside. And that comes within rebounding and that comes scoring in the paint. They have to utilize that if they want to make a long tournament run. We're talking SEC tournament or NCAA tournament. This is a guard heavy team. But they need Pons and Fulkerson to step up to get some second chance opportunities. That's another thing that they've kind of struggled with. They had 18 rebounds in one of their games recently, but they only had 5 second chance opportunities. That's not going to win many basketball games. So they have to play a complete all-around game, but they also just have to use their size inside.
Madison Blevins, a strong message to the Vols basketball team. Maybe, Madge, you coach him up the way that you coach me up about my weight. Maybe you do that. Maybe you give him a pep talk pregame. Complete and utter disrespect. Speaking of disrespect, Tennessee football getting closer and closer, baby. It's coming back. Spring practices have been announced. A quarterback situation, a new offense, a new coaching staff entirely, a new athletic director, and the focus of all things Vols, as the basketball team kind of sputters, is what is going to happen with Josh Heupel and this offense, because he's really, really tasked with more than anything trying to make the Vols, you know, not to be grotesque on air, but not to make the offense look so constipated on a regular basis. Quarterback is the thing that's going to be talked about at length. What are the coaches saying about that position right now? What is the word out of Knoxville ahead of spring practices getting ready to kick off?
Yeah, and the most important thing that we're hearing right now is from offensive coordinator Alex Golish. She said, you know, we're not going to name a starting quarterback in the next 6 months. That's just not going to happen after spring ball. We have a long way to go. We saw Tennessee play multiple different quarterbacks last season. You know the saying, Buck, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. So that's Tennessee's main focus right now, is establishing a starter and sticking to him. So both the quarterback coach, Joey Halsley, and Alex Golish, they're saying, you know, just be patient with us. We're going to see how these guys turn up in practice, in spring practice. And, you know, interesting little nugget, for the first time in 2 years, Tennessee football is going to have a full spring practice season. So I'm pretty hype about that. Orange and white game on the 24th as well. But, you know, Buck, it's just interesting. It's patience, it's developing, and something Golish said as well, who has had great offensive success. He said, you know, we're going to throw a lot at these guys, and we're going to see what quarterback can handle it, both mentally and physically. But it's going to be a lot of mentally as well. The way that this offense plays, how explosive they are, but also how patient they want their quarterback to be in the pocket, not going with the first read, kind of waiting and letting that play out itself. So they want a guy that can handle it, that he can have a fast twitch muscle in the brain and physically as well. Who that might be, who knows? We have no front runner right now. They didn't even name names of who they're looking at. So I think everyone just has to be patient and give themselves the next 6 months. And who's starting on day one on September 4th is probably when we're going to find it out.
Do you realize what you just asked Vols fans to do? Be patient about the quarterback position and the football team, the new coaching staff? Are you insane? What do you mean, be patient? This is not a patient fan. God love them. They're not a patient fan base.
No, I know. And I mean, I can categorize myself in that as well. I was a Tennessee fan. I can say that.
I know. Look at you. You're glowing talking about football all over again. It's truly embarrassing. Just take the orange colored glasses off, Mads, for God's sakes. Let's try and be professional around here.
It's in my blood, but it is. It's patience, and it's what Heupel has said since he got hired, what Danny White, the athletic director, has said. Guys, be patient with us, lift up these athletes, and be supportive of them, because we got a long road ahead, and it's not going to get easier in spring ball. So patience is a virtue, Buck.
Patience is a virtue. Speaking of your blood, your brother just texted me, as a matter of fact, and I thought it was going to be about you being on the radio show. I don't think he has any idea. He's currently driving through my hometown in Evansville, Indiana. Dude, you are from the middle of nowhere, corn-fed Indiana. LOL. Love you, Logue.
That could not be better timing, because no, he does not know I'm on right now. So glad he's not listening to me. But
you know, you want a family that supports you. No, no, no more supportive family than the Blevins family. Don't I know? Madison Blevins of WBIR here with us on 104.5 The Zone. We put a poll out before Mads joined us. How long did it take Madison Blevins to make fun of my weight in this segment? 90% of the audience said less than 5 minutes. You're making money if you voted
wow,
less than 5 minutes.
Wow, guys, give me more credit.
Why on earth? You don't deserve more credit for that. Just the damage done to my self-confidence, it's irreparable. This is a bully that I have on the line with me. Mads, thank you so much for hanging out on the show. I hope you'll come back, and we will follow all of the things that Madison Blevins is doing at Madison for Blevins on the social.
And Buck, I have to say, thank you to you for having me on, but also shout out to my 104.5 The Zone family.
Yeah.
I spent almost 3 years there, so I love you guys. I'm appreciative of you guys, and every opportunity you guys gave me led me to living a dream job that I have right now. So shout out to 104.5 The Zone. You guys are the best. I love you guys. Buck, keep it up. Really proud of you. I'm hoping you have a lot of success. I'm not holding my breath, but I'm hoping you have a lot of success.
Man, get the hell out of this soup. I got a radio show to do. Madison Blevins here with us on the show. We appreciate Mads' time without question. You can jump in on the things that Mads just spoke truth on. A lot of good stuff there on the Tennessee Volunteers basketball team. Again, a very, very pivotal game coming up against Florida. I misspoke when I downplayed it. If they finish in the top four and get the double bye for the SEC tournament, it's going to be huge. That's absolute. That cannot be understated. And thank you for the people on Twitter who corrected me in that way. We welcome your participation. I know we had some people holding on through the segment there. If you want to jump in, 615-737-1045 is the number that you call. We have polls to vote on. We have basketballs to talk. Basketballs to talk. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Oh, yes, we are back indeed. Buck Rising, 104.5 The Zone. Hope you're enjoying the show. We appreciate Madison Blevins for stopping by. Now, a big reason that I enjoy being a part of the 104.5 The Zone family, as well as a part of the A to Z Sports family, I get to double dip. It's a lovely thing that I have worked out in my life. But a big part of this is that I get to interact with some of my good friends who have been on 104.5 The Zone, mainstays on 104.5 The Zone, and much less I get to call them when I want to and yell at them for things that they've said on the internet. So we bring in Dawn Davenport. Hello, friend. How are you?
Hi. How are you? How's it going flying solo in the big chair?
I mean, you know, I feel pretty good. Like, I feel like I could, you know, I could always use some Dawn Davenport tough love. I feel like that's gone a long way for me in my career. For the first time that we met in this, in person anyway, in this very studio, you looked at me and you said, you know, I didn't think I was going to like you because I don't like you on Twitter. That was the first thing that Dawn said to me.
I did say that, and for the most part, I'm usually a pretty quiet person on Twitter, right? Mind my own business, and you don't ever do that. You will call people out. You will quote tweet insanity. That's kind of your shtick usually. You're on that, and I respect that.
Well,
but you know, when I disagree with you, I get to talk to you about it, and now we get to do it on both of our shows, which is great.
Indeed, and of course, you can hear Dawn with Brent Doherty on 3HL weekdays 3 to 6. So, what Dawn has done is she has chosen violence. She has gone down the Buck Rising path. She has quote tweeted.
Totally out of character for me.
No, I know, which is why it's why we wanted to call you and bother you outside of your normally scheduled time. So what is happening? Because there are a lot of people upset on the internet for one reason or another about what has happened at MTSU. News Channel 5, Phil Williams specifically, has done what they are calling an investigation into a violation of the university's nepotism policies as Coach Rick Stockstill hired his son, Brent Stockstill, of MTSU fame, to come and be the wide receivers coach on the staff. You have a statement from the athletic director, Chris Massaro, saying it's not uncommon in athletics for that to occur. You see that across the country. And it's been across the state. Now, Dawn Davenport chose violence against Phil Williams.
Hold on. You also saw it at MTSU prior to this in their basketball coaches with Coach Enzel and his son, Matt, who is his assistant. Like, this is not all of a sudden this is an issue now when it comes to Rick Stockstill and the football program, but it has not been an issue at any other state university, talking about for Phil Williams. It hasn't been an issue at any other state university or prior to this time either. But now it deserves an investigation and a report, and it is absolutely unacceptable now.
Yes, you can hear the displeasure in Dawn Davenport's voice. And by the way, you can see this displeasure on Twitter if you so choose, at Dawn Davenport. TN. She's a great follow. Good thing she
can
said.
Can I just go ahead and say RIP to my mentions? Like, I can't.
Oh,
I
stop. You're going to be fine.
You, Buck. I can't imagine being you. I can't imagine being Clay Travis. I can't imagine being Dan Wolkin. All of those, like, those kind of extremes, like, I just can't even imagine.
I'm
because
sorry.
People are crazy.
Now, wait just a damn minute. Did you just put me in the same sentence as Clay Travis and Dan Wolkin?
And Dan Wolkin.
Dog.
Well, hey, you know
what? Are you trying to do to me here? Dawn? Did we lose Dawn?
I mean, there's Dawn. People are going to disagree with anything and everything, and they will certainly voice that on Twitter.
Okay, so maybe I just need you to clarify, because I read your tweet, I saw your tweet, got a lot of engagement, and in fact, one of the people that you engaged with was Dan Wolkin. So I will read the tweet, and I will allow you to clarify, because I think I did not pick up something from your tweet that you have just expanded on. So this is good that we're having this conversation. Dawn says yesterday, about 14 hours ago, she quote tweeted, she chose violence. Good thing Brent Stockstill isn't the best quarterback in the history of the MTSU football program and a promising young coaching candidate or anything, because that would make this News Channel 5 Phil Williams breaking investigation, just laced in sarcasm, I add parenthetically, breaking investigation look ridiculous. Thinking emoji, hard-hitting stuff here, Phil. So I initially thought, Dawn, because I was not privy to the information. This is a point of ignorance for me, and this is why we bring Dawn around, so she can expose my ignorance to a larger listening audience. I was not aware of the previous instances of this at just specifically at MTSU, not just across college athletics. So your issue here is not with what is being described as an investigation. Your issue here is with the reporter who is breaking this as an investigation.
Yes. Yeah, well, I've got a couple of issues here. First of all, here, just the black and white of it. The rule is in place. I understand the rule is in place for a reason. I also understand that Brent Stockstill, as a candidate, regardless of what his last name is more than qualified. Actually, I would go as far as to say overqualified for that position. He actually had an offer at a Group of Five school to be a quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator. I talked to a coach who he was an offensive quality control coach under, who told me he's special, he's awesome, he is a brilliant offensive mind. Like, all of this. So I understand the rule is there, in there, it's there for a reason, right? To protect people, to make sure that everybody has equal opportunity. Get it. MTSU did, the only mistake they made was that they had Rick Stockstill. They allowed him to be a part of the interview process. You can basically get around these rules for people like Brent Stockstill who are qualified for these positions if you do, if certain things are put in place. MTSU put everything in place except for the fact that they allowed Rick Stockstill to be in the Zoom interview for the position with Brent Stockstill. That's where they made their mistake. So that's where they violated the entire thing, right?
Yeah.
So part of my issue is the fact that Phil Williams thinks that this is so important that he's going to spend. And here's the deal. Phil Williams has been in this town for a long time. He's done a great job as an investigative reporter for a long time.
No, Dawn. Don't couch it with compliments. Just rip him. Just rip him on the radio. Do it. Go for the throat.
Well, he has, but here comes the but. But to me, part of my issue in this is that this feels like a hit piece from Phil Williams because there is a passing mention about how it's done at how it's happened at other places. There's a passing mention. And by the way, Matt Insel is overly qualified for that position as well. He's been a head coach in the SEC prior to becoming an assistant for his dad. Like, he's probably overqualified for that position as well. So all of that. So my issue here with Phil Williams is, and here's more of the backstory. So Phil Williams did a story. Tony Franklin was the offensive coordinator at MTSU. No longer there. Had an issue at some point during all of this COVID stuff. Had an issue with Rick Stockstill and his inconsistency with wearing his mask. Tony Franklin has been very vocal about, you know, about COVID protocols, about how important they are, about how concerned he is. He felt like Rick Stockstill and MTSU had not protected their college football players in the ways that they needed to do it, that they did a disservice to athletes at MTSU, right? So that's his feeling. There were issues there with Stockstill and Tony Franklin prior to this, but he's no longer there. So clearly he's not happy. He goes to Phil Williams. Phil Williams writes this piece, I believe it was February 7th, February 8th, about the COVID protocols, the mask-wearing problems, all of this. Then, a month later, he comes out with this piece on the same program, on the same guy, on something that just, from an optics standpoint, it's pretty questionable. It's pretty questionable. And then has zero issue or zero investigation into situations where it has happened before. That's my issue. And Phil Williams is all about, you know, journalistic integrity and accountability and all of that. So I'm asking him, okay, well, if this is such an important issue, if it is that big of a problem in this state, in that university, why is this the first that you're making a big deal about it? Why is it this coach and this family and that program?
Hashtag journalism, according to Dawn Davenport, at Dawn Davenport TN. Now, Dawn,
because
I mean,
the other thing, I should never know. Nobody should ever know. If you're a journalist, nobody should ever know what side you're on, yeah, which way you lean. Nobody.
That's a problem. I mean, listen, I don't have a ton of time to get into it, and I thank Dawn very much for giving us some of her time. By the way, listen to Dawn on 3HL. She'll be on with Brent from 3 to 6.
We will dive deep into it.
Yeah, they're gonna crush it.
Especially with Dan Wolkin randomly jumping in the conversation. Like, what's up with that guy?
Listen to me. You just compared me to that guy, so I don't know what the hell you're doing there. So,
and play Travis at the same time. I bet that's never been done.
That's literally never been done. I'm very upset about it. I'm going to contemplate that. What exactly, how I should reevaluate my life after the fact of these accusations that Dawn Davenport has just made. Dawn, I appreciate you being willing to jump in. It turns out I didn't need to yell at you because you explained your point very thoroughly, and I know that you guys will do a great job later this afternoon on 3HL.
By the way, I invited, I don't have a contact for Mr. Williams, but I have invited him onto the show today to discuss, and you know us, we are very fair, not attacking, that's not how we roll, even though he wants to attack me for saying that rules don't matter on Twitter, that's fine. But I've put it out there. He is invited to come on 3HL if he wants to talk about the investigation and all of that fairly. It is an open line.
Well,
just put that out there.
I think that in almost every other case you are fair, and that you are discerning, and that you don't attack anybody. But I do feel personally attacked with the comparisons that you've just made about my character, Dawn Davenport. Thank you for stopping by.
Love you, Buck.
See ya. Love you too, Dawn. 3HL. From 3 to 6 this afternoon. So, we're going to talk about the Titans. We're going to talk about free agency. If you guys have, I mean, listen, if you guys are pissed off about the Rick Stockstill thing as well, because I think Dawn made a very good case. And by the way, I mean, it's going to be must listen to later, because when Dawn is passionate about something, Dawn is great to be, to consume as a sports media personality. So you'll want to make sure that you tune in later on this afternoon. We'll come back. We've got the final hour of the show. We're going to talk to RJ Ochoa. If you guys have thoughts, comments, questions, concerns, you know the line to hit is 615-737-1045. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone.